We're glad to have you with us this morning. I'm reminded during today and just during the season of something that Carol Nelson said, a prominent author. She said, Christmas is a time whenever you're homesick, even when you're at home. And what she means when she says that is that during this season, even whenever we're around our family here, even when we're around our friends, even when we're around other believers, there is this contentedness with being here, but there's also a longing for what we were intended to be, a longing for where we were intended to be, which is in communion with God in a very personal way. And so I hope this morning that that is something that you will feel well up inside you as a longing for something greater, a longing for home. I'm going to pray and then we'll begin. Lord, I thank you this morning for the opportunity to hold and communicate your word. Lord, I just pray that as we come to the table this morning, as we come to the Lord's Supper, that we will be reminded of what you have done, but we will find a hope and an expectation of what you are going to do. Our trust, our hope, our joy is in you, Jesus. Pray all of these things in the name of Christ. Amen. All right, so we all know that the meal, that a dinner, that a shared table is something that is important in our culture. It means something, right? At weddings, we'll have a meal together. At funerals, we'll have a meal together. Reunions, a meal. Farewells, a meal. Births, a meal. Deaths, a meal. Everything in between, we will find a way to come together as a table, because around the table, there is a community that is shared. There is an intimacy that is shared when you come together. And although the meal, although the dinner, although the table is an important cultural symbol in our culture, it is far greater an important symbol in the culture of the Jews, who are prevalent in the scriptures. And so as we come to the scriptures and we examine this, you will find that whenever God does great redemptive acts, whenever God does huge things in human history, they commemorate those things with a meal. They commemorate those things by coming together as a table so that they could share in the moment, right? Many of you met with your families for Christmas dinner. Why? So that you could share in the season together, so that you could share in the conversation, so that you could be reminded that there is something greater than yourself and your own intentions and plans and desires and history for this next year. That there is something coming that's going to involve all of us. So we come together at the table so that we can be reminded that we're in this together, and that what God has done in our lives drastically affects the lives of the other people. And so we're going to look first off at Exodus chapter 12. And so I don't think that they're going to be putting the words up or the scripture up, and you don't have to turn there. But what I want to share with you this morning is that there was a time long before the Lord's Supper, like we take it now, that Jesus instituted with the disciples before he died. There was a time at the Passover whenever they commemorated a great redemptive act that God had done in their lives. And they did it with a meal. Because what was the Passover and during the Exodus? What was that? That was a time where God was bringing his people who had been captured into physical slavery by Egypt. He was bringing his people out of that physical slavery. And to do that, as the capstone of everything that he was doing, he said, there will be a meal that you will participate in to remember this. And every year, you will participate in this meal. You will come together with your family. You will participate in this. And it says in Exodus 12, it says, you shall take a lamb, and your lamb shall be without blemish, a male, a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of this month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight. Then they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. And it says, I will execute judgments, for I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. So God was going to come in, and he was going to free his people from their captors, Egypt. And to do that, he said, you will kill a lamb, and you will put the blood on the doorpost. Now, this is long, long before the sacrifice of Jesus. But they did it with the expectation of knowing that God provides the Savior. And that's the whole point of this season, is that God provides the Lamb. God provides the Savior. And he has done that in the incarnation of Jesus. And so we take the Lord's Supper the day after Christmas Day to remember that our Savior has come, that Christ has come, that we no longer kill lambs and put the blood above our doorposts, because there has been a perfect sacrifice for all time in the person of Jesus. If you read through the book of Hebrews, which would be very timely for you to do during the Christmas season, you will see over and over again that Jesus has come to be the superior sacrifice, to be the superior priest, and that is something that we desperately need. The whole point of Christmas is to show that we couldn't get to heaven by ourselves, that God had to come to get us. And so we take the supper knowing that our Savior has come, and that's why he institutes it in Luke chapter 22. Because, see, while the Exodus was a great thing, while the Lord's Supper was good, it was incomplete. It was imperfect. The Passover, as the Jews celebrated, was for them a reminder of what God had done to free them from physical slavery. But if you read the Old Testament, you will see that Israel constantly made themselves the slaves of sin and death in their worship of false idols and false gods. So although God had broken off the shackles of their physical slavery, they still enslave themselves to false idols. Very easy for us to do. There had to be a greater exodus. There had to be a time where we were not only taken out of a physical slavery, but where we were pulled out of our spiritual captivity to sin and death. There had to be a greater Moses, somebody who could come in and bring not just the Jewish people, but the whole world out of the slavery of sin and death that we find ourselves in. And Jesus has come to be that. He is that. He reigns now at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us, because he knows that while he has broken the shackles of spiritual slavery in his coming and his death and his resurrection, we still, even in the midst of a season dedicated to his coming, will find a way to enslave ourselves to every form of idol that our culture has to offer. And Jesus has come to break that. And that's the whole point of why we come and we take the supper together. Some of you have not felt this freedom. And you're curious because of a group of people who would come together and say that this is the body and that this is the blood of our Savior. That these things, that we are partaking in those things, remembrances, signs of what he has done. That's curious to some of you. That we would take our time off, our day after Christmas, and come together. We do that because we found freedom here. We found freedom at the table. We have found freedom remembering and freedom worshiping a Savior who has brought hope and who has brought grace and has brought truth in a world that is absolutely dismal and dark with the plague of sin. And the disciples, people who came from a Jewish culture, they would have known every year, what do? We celebrate the Passover because of what God has done. And when God comes in, when Jesus comes into the world and he kind of takes these disciples and he's teaching them, he leads them all the way to this supper in Luke chapter 22. We know it sometimes as the Last Supper or the Lord's Supper. And in Luke chapter 22, verses 14 through 23, he is going to commemorate what he is doing. He's going to commemorate his project in the world, his mission, with a meal. And it says in Luke chapter 22, starting in verse 14, it says, "And when the hour came, he reclined at the table, and the apostles with him, and he said to them, 'I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God.' And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, 'Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes.' And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And likewise, the cup after they had eaten, saying, 'This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. But behold, the hand of him who betrays me is with me on the table. For the Son of Man goes as it has been determined, but woe to that man by whom he is betrayed.' And they began to question one another which of them it could be who was going to do this." So here it is on the precipice, on really on the edge of what Christ has come into the world to do. They are just moments, days away from Jesus' death and resurrection. And they have this supper together. We call it the Last Supper because it's the last meal that they eat together before he's crucified. And so Jesus is telling them, and he's delivering some things to them that he thinks are of great importance. He's telling them, listen, this is my body, and this is my blood. Do you realize what he's doing? He's rewriting their entire history in a meal. He's saying, all of those times where you took this Passover, you were doing it because I was coming. He's redefining one of their largest cultural landmarks in their entire life. They've grown up every year knowing that this was the biggest thing that came around all year. And whenever he sits down with them, he drastically redefines everything. He says, this has always been about me, about what I was going to do because of my great love for you, of my grace and my joy for you. And so this morning, if you think that this is a ritual, let me redefine it as Jesus has. This is not some long-standing tradition. This is not a day after Christmas ritual. This is a celebration. This is not a meal to commemorate some man who died a long time ago for some people in the Middle East. No, this is a resurrection supper where by which we come and we say, our King has come, he has died, but now he stands at the right hand of the Father interceding for us because we are his church and we are his bride. Because of his great love for us. Because he has made a covenant with us that he will save us, that he will free us from our slavery. This is not a ritual. This is not a tradition. This is a meal by which we come and say, thank you, Jesus. Not only for what you've done, but for what you're going to do. Because you realize that the meals are not over. We take the Lord's Supper as worshipers and warriors in tension. I pray that you are weary of taking this supper in a world ripe with rape and genocide and cancer and disease and hunger and homelessness. You need to come to this table tired. You eat these elements tired of being here. Things are not right here. This is not home. But it is going to be restored. It is going to be restored. It is going to be made new. God is reconciling the world to himself, and you are but a small part in that, a part that he treasures, but a small part nonetheless. So come to this table tired, and come to it weary, and go from it invigorated by the Spirit of the Lord who is now calling you. Because if you look at Exodus, and if you look at the Lord's Supper, what happens after these meals? After the Passover meal, the people of Israel, they come out of Egypt. They go out of Egypt, out of their oppression, out of their slavery, out of their death. They go into a mission that God has said, I'm taking you to a promised land. They go from the Passover. And what happens after the disciples have the Lord's Supper, right? The death and the resurrection, and then they go into Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. They go on mission. This is a table. This is a supper for those who are going. Of people who say, I'm not going to come and eat this and sit back down in my pew and be content in knowing there's a world that is hungry for righteousness, but who has not heard of it yet. This is a table. This is bread and juice for those who say, I need it because I need to be invigorated. I need to be encouraged in my going. So my prayer is that the Holy Spirit will overwhelm you and capture you, believer, Christian, that this will be a banquet for you to come and worship what Christ has done, that it'll be fuel for what you're going to do in his name. And an expectation of what he's going to come and do on your behalf yet again. This is not the last meal. We eat this supper. We eat this Lord's Supper in tension. But knowing that we are between the already of what Christ has come and done and the not yet of what he's going to come and do when he restores and makes all things new. And he says he will not eat of this supper again until the kingdom of God has come. The marriage supper of the Lamb is the banquet table that we will sit at when we are in God's presence and the kingdom of God has come in its fullness. Revelation 19, starting in verse 6. Then I heard what seemed to be voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters, and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder crying out, Hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and exult and give him the glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure, for the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. And the angel said to me, Write this, Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, These are the true words of God. Jesus, when he's with the disciples at the Lord's Supper, he says, Listen, this is my body. This bread represents my body, and this wine represents my blood. And he says, and know this, I will not eat or drink of this again until the kingdom of God has come. And this is what he's talking about. This marriage supper of the Lamb, this is where the king, this is where Jesus eats again, because the kingdom of God will have come. And all things will be made right, and all things will have been restored in his work. Do you realize that you come to a table that our king is abstaining from, because all of those who are invited to come have not come yet? Our king waits. Our king waits, not in a passivity. He doesn't wait on his heels. He waits on his toes, because he is waiting for those whom he is pursuing to taste his grace and come to the table. And those are some of you. And you have waited, and you have paused, and you have tarried for too long, because the king, he doesn't want you to clean yourself up and then come to the table. He wants to clean you so that you can come to the table. His righteousness has been made your own, and you need it. You are desperate for it. Most of you, you know hunger in the sense of maybe you've missed a meal, or you've missed a couple of meals, or you've had to fast for a medical procedure. And you know that pit that grows in your stomach. It kind of starts to conquer all of your thoughts, all of the desires of your heart, where you drive past every McDonald's billboard in the state of Texas in 3 miles. And it seems like the world is working against you, showing you every food that you love to eat. Some of you know that hunger. There is a deeper hunger in your hearts, a deeper thirst in your hearts. And what you're hungry and thirsty for is Christ. And you can fill it up with everything that this world has to offer, and yet you will still be starving. Do not do that. For the believer and for the unbeliever, do not do that. Do not wait expecting that you will be filled by something this world has to offer. You were meant to eat at the table of Christ. And until you are eating there, you will be hungry. In a moment, we are going to open this up, this altar, for an invitation for you to come and for you to be filled. Do not wait any longer. The Last Supper for those disciples, do you think they were calling it the Last Supper? You think that the disciples were calling it? No, we've coined it the Last Supper. They weren't calling it the Last Supper because they did not know it was their last opportunity to eat with Christ. You do not know that this is your last opportunity to eat with Christ. You do not know if you will be given another chance. You do not know if tomorrow he comes to make all things right. But I can promise you this. I know that he's chasing after you, and he wants you today, not tomorrow, not a week from now. He wants your heart today. That's both for the believer who has reserved for himself the right to keep every sin private and privy to himself, who says that this table will not be fulfilling enough for him, and he says he must have this or she must have that in order to be filled. That is for you, believer. Don't fill your lives with these nonsensical sins that will never satisfy you. And for the unbeliever, quit your running. Christ has come for you today. He wants your heart. And I want you by my side at the marriage supper of the Lamb. I want you there with me. He's waiting. He's waiting. Let's pray. God, I thank you this morning for the opportunity to eat the bread of your body and drink the juice of your blood. And so, God, I just, Holy Spirit, I just pray that you will be working on our hearts, that you will be capturing us for the kingdom. You will be captivating our minds and the focus and the thoughts and intentions of our heart. You will be capturing those things so that they will be redirected to the image of your Son. May we know your love. May we know your grace. May we know your truth in such an intimate way where we cannot walk away from here unchanged. Pray all of these things in the name of Christ. Amen.